Part 5, Chapter 9. They had been left in the truck throughout the chilly night. Turl had simply put a couple of button cameras on it, one at each end, and had gone off to his quarters. But it was mid-morning now, and Turl had been bustling about the cages since before dawn. Johnny had not been able to turn his head enough to see what he was doing. The collar and leash had never been so tight. Turl came to the back of the truck and dropped its gate. He led the horses out and tied the lead ropes to a tree. Then he bodily shoved the wounded horse off the truck, and when it hit the ground, shoved it further out of the way. It was trying to stand, and he cuffed it, knocking it down again. He came onto the bed and unfastened Paddy. He had a collar in his paw, and he clamped it around Paddy's throat. He pulled out a welding torch and welded it shut, and then welded a lead to it. Picking the little girl up with one swoop, he went off with her. Presently, he came back. Chrissy shrank away from him. He had another collar, and he welded it on. Johnny had a closer look at it as the leash was fastened. This collar had a red bulge on its side. Johnny realized that Patty's had had one too. Turl looked at Johnny's eyes. They were ice blue and deadly.
Your turn in a moment, animal. No need to be cross. A whole new life is opening up for you.
He scooped up Chrissy and packed her off the truck. He was gone for some time. Johnny heard the cage door opening and shutting as though being tested. Then the truck rocked as Turl's enormous weight came onto it again. He looked down at Johnny.
Any more dummy wires? You sure you're not sitting on a blast rifle that has its action dummy wired?
Turl laughed at his own joke.
You know, I'm gonna knock the crap out of Kerr for not teaching you any better.
He was fumbling with Johnny's leash and lashings.
Rat brain.
The recon drone rumbled in from the distance and passed over with an ear-splitting roar. Johnny glared at it as it passed.
Good,
said Turl, approving.
You know what spotted her? And so you know what will spot you now if you get up to anything I don't like. Beautiful pictures we get with that thing. Tiniest detail. Get off the truck!
Johnny was yanked toward the cage. Turl had indeed been busy. Several things were changed. One of them was his instructor machine and table. It now sat outside the cage. Turl yanked him to a halt. Chrissy and Patty were tied to an iron rod that had been inset into the side of the pool. Chrissy was trying to massage some feeling back into Patty's arms and legs, and the little girl was crying with the pain of returning blood.
Now, animal, I am giving you a briefing tour, so pay very close attention.
Turl pointed to an electric connector box on a nearby wall. His talon indicated a heavy wire coming from it that led to the top bars of the cage, wound around each one, and closed the whole cage high up and returned to the box. Each cage bar now had insulator wrappings around the bottom. Turl yanked Johnny over to a clump of bushes. A coyote was lying there, its head muffled in wrappings, snarls coming from it. Turl put on an insulator glove and picked up the coyote.
Now tell those two other animals to watch this carefully.
Johnny said nothing.
Well, no matter. I see they are watching.
With his gloved paw, Turl held up the struggling coyote and launched it at the bars. There was a searing puff of light. The coyote shrieked. An instant later, it was a charred, crackling mess on the bars, turning black. Turl chuckled.
Animal, tell them if they touch those bars, that's what will happen!
Johnny told them never to touch the bars.
Next!
Said Turl, taking off the glove and putting it in his belt.
We have a real treat for you.
Turl reached into his pocket and took out a compact switch box.
You know all about remotes, animal. Remember your tractor? This is a remote.
He pointed at the two girls.
Now look closely and you will see. They are wearing a different kind of collar. See that red bulge on the side of the collar?
Johnny did. All too clearly. He felt sick.
That is a small bomb. It is enough to shatter their necks and blow their heads off. Understand, animal?
Johnny glared.
This switch,
said Turl, pointing to his remote control box,
is the small animal. This switch,
and he pointed to another,
sets off the collar of the other animal. This box.
And what is the third switch?
Said Johnny.
Well, thank you for asking. I didn't think I was getting through to your rat brain. This third switch ignites a general charge in the cage that you do not know the location of, and that will blow up the whole lot.
Turl was smiling behind his faceplate, his amber eyes slitted, flickering, watching Johnny. At length, he continued.
This control box is always on my person. There are also two other remotes in places you don't know about. Now, is all that very clear to you?
It's clear to me,
said Johnny, repressing his shaking anger.
That one of the horses can come over and get electrocuted. It's also clear that you could accidentally trip those controls.
Animal, we are standing here jabbering and omitting the fact that I have truly befriended you.
Johnny was very alert. Turl took out a metal cutter and snipped off Johnny's collar. He then mockingly handed him its remains and the leash.
Run around. Feel liberty. Frisk!
Turl moved off and started picking up some odds and ends of tools he had strewn about while working. The stench of the electrocuted coyote was rank in the air.
And what do I pay for this?
Said Johnny. Turl came back.
Animal, you must have realized by now, in spite of your rat brain, that your best course is to cooperate with me.
In what way?
That's better, animal. I like to see gratitude.
In what way?
Repeated Johnny.
The company has some projects that need doing. They are very confidential, of course. And you are standing there pledging your full cooperation. Right?
Johnny looked at him.
And when they're all done, why, I will stagger you with gifts, and you can return to the mountains.
With them,
said Johnny, pointing at Chrissy and Patty.
Of course. And with your four-legged companions as well.
Johnny knew a false Turl when he saw one.
Of course. If you try to get away, which I think by now you have found impossible, or if you seek to mess me up, or if you don't succeed, why then, very easy. The little one loses its head. And if you repeat your mistake in any way, the bigger one loses its head. And if you go off the cable completely, the whole place blows up. Now, do I have your promise of cooperation?
I can move around all I please?
Of course, animal. I'm tired of hunting rats for you, and I'm sure not going to hunt rats for those two in there.
Turl laughed, the soul of joviality.
I can go into the cage?
When I'm standing outside with my little remote control box watching, yes.
I can ride around the country?
As long as you wear this,
said Turl. He pulled out of his pocket a button camera with a loose neckband and dropped it over Johnny's head.
If it shuts off or gets beyond a 5-mile range, why, I just push the first switch.
You're not a monster. You're a devil.
But Turl saw clearly. He had won.
So, you promise?
Johnny dejectedly looked at the remote control box bulge in Turl's pocket. He looked at the two girls, who were now gazing at him, trustingly.
I promise to do the project,
said Johnny. It was as far as he could be stretched. But it was enough for Turl. He almost gaily tossed his tools into the back of the truck and drove off. Johnny walked over to the cage, careful not to touch the bars, and began a cautious, low-key explanation of what was going on. He felt like a cheat as he did so. If ever he had seen treachery, it had been in Turl's eyes.